everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting of February 10th, 2020, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6th, 2020, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman is absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay.
Open the meeting to public comment, agenda items only, at 7.06 p.m. Is there anyone from the public, Mr. Tickton, who would like to come to the mic? Okay, I will close the public comment at 7.07 p.m. Come to approval of minutes, the regular meeting minutes from January 27th, 2020.
I'll move that.
Second. Any discussion, corrections, anything?
Excellent job, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, but I can't take responsibility.
Is it Lori?
For them, it's Lori.
Well, then I'll congratulate Lori on the way out.
All right, you come to correspondence?
Wait.
I'm sorry. I missed that?
Here. Yeah, I have a first and a second. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
For the
Mr.
minutes.
Mr. Germany?
Yeah. Abstain.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes. Did we go to roll call? People that are here yet?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I skipped
over. You
said
here.
And you said here.
And that's why I skipped
Are you here?
Over.
Yeah, mostly.
Because when she said roll call just
I
now,
you off.
I was ready to say, no, we did that.
I couldn't wake them up in time. That's
I don't know. There's something about Michael's today that everyone seems to be off a step.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Everybody,
true.
It's
yeah.
the rain.
No, it's the constant rain. Mm. Okay, we come to correspondence. We have none.
I'll offer resolution 2035. Pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
Lou?
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 20-36, renewing Monmouth County's shared services agreement for Monmouth County to serve as the public answering point, PSAP, for Roosevelt Borough. Do I have a motion?
This is their 911.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I was going to wait for.
I
was going to wait for the motion
and
second to ask.
Renewal.
Right, okay.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, and finally, resolution 20-37, resolution setting fees for a recreational summer camp.
And the fees have made same fees
as last year.
Okay, I'll move that.
Second?
Yes.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Not a lot. Greg Fasile's been working on the storm drains last week. Greg DeFoe's been working on some lighting issues here in Borough Hall. Dead deer was taken off of Nerco Road. And I got a call from
Cameron
Carini from Carmella's office. And I guess they want some clarification on some issues regarding the parking lot out here.
Oh, the parking lot. It's not what they were going to say. Uh-huh.
Drain. He left a message, but I was talking with Joe, and that's what he's looking for.
He spoke with me, and then I told him to call Steve. But the issue was, like, on a head-on parking space, they usually put these, like, little concrete barriers. And he said we should consider putting six or seven of them across away from Borough Hall for the parking over there. He said it would be around $2,000. I said I would speak with you guys. Also, the drainage on the parking lot itself, I thought that they were going to put a curb drain by the grass over here. He said they were going to put a center drain in the parking lot. So whatever Carmella thinks.
Right, is the best solution.
Yeah. Also, the last thing was on Elm Court, the last house on the right. He said there's paving stones that they put in as a driveway and as a sidewalk, and that they're not square with where the repaving would be. So they would need permission from the homeowner to alter the paving stones or something.
We can do that.
So
I've had that situation before, and this is an older borough. So I had a situation in Allentown when they did their streetscape.
Right.
So we just need to hold harmless to go on there. If they're okay with moving it, the contract usually provides them with a plan. They sign off on it, and then we can come on your property, and the contract will just move it as part of the project. Make sure it all looks appropriate and matches up right.
He said they wouldn't have to cut them. They could just rearrange them a little bit. I said that would be a Peggy and two, three, then, and so on.
Yeah.
So you guys know that.
Okay.
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 Great.
So they need to sign something?
So I'm not completely familiar with exactly what the paving stones are, but so long story short, if they're outside the right-of-way, it's the resident's property, mm-hmm. and then if our contractor's going to go on that property, we need their permission to do that, and we typically say, you know, there's a hold harmless in return for us restoring the entire property back to the way
is
it was, or according to a plan that's attached to make it look right.
Is that the case, where it's going to be beyond the...
I don't know where the property ends and the paving starts. That would be, you know...
I mean, it sounds like you said driveway. So the driveway is definitely not in the right-of-way.
Yeah, driveway...
Sidewalk is sidewalk. You almost... Not almost. Yeah. If it's a public sidewalk, it's always in the right-of-way.
Yeah, yeah.
And absent certain circumstances, I can think of in Red Bank, where people have parking... sidewalks through their parking lots in the back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, any public sidewalk is in the right of way.
I don't think there's any sidewalk there.
It's usually the back edge of the sidewalk. It's usually the end of the right of way.
He said there's a sidewalk.
So, like in Allentown, we had the same problem. We had people whose driveways, or they had different kinds of stone than ours, and we had to take them back and then put them back. So, the minute we go across that right of way line, we need your permission to do that. Otherwise, we're the government on your property.
But otherwise, you don't.
Amendment.
What's that? If it's in the right of way, it doesn't matter.
Correct, because of the recorded property interest and the right-of-way, and we have the ability to perform work in that right-of-way. We can even move people's trees or whatever we need to do.
The right-of-way is out.
Once you cross outside, well, it's technically the resident's property with our right-of-way on it.
Okay.
Right-of-way being the public right-of-way gives us certain rights within there, and everyone agrees upon it, in particular having a public street in front of their house as part of the subdivision or when it was built. But, you know, the property is dedicated to the street, the public right-of-way. And that's all recorded as a record or available as a record on subdivision maps so that everyone knows what their rights are on the particular property.
Right.
Property still is titled to the owner, it's just that we have rights within it. Just like if there's a electrical wire in your backyard or on the side of your house. It's your property, but the utility company can come in there whenever they want because they have a recorded right to come onto that piece of property.
So I told them that they would probably need to see a plan of how the alteration would be from Carmella's people.
Yeah. Oh, they know how to. Carmella and them know how to do it.
Yeah.
They did
yeah.
it
yeah.
in Allentown. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just come to me whenever they decide like what they're going to do,
right.
and then I will give them the hold harmless to the extent they aren't already using the one I gave them from Allentown still for the last 4 years. and then they'll have the property to sign that, and that'll, then they'll go on and do the work.
Yeah. So I just want to pass that information on. It's, when you talk to Cameron, you'll know what's going on. Okay.
Anything else, Steve?
That's it for me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Councilman Esikoff, administration.
We're still administrating.
Good.
And we're doing a good job of it.
That's
still?
For sure.
Yeah. We even have
Pardon
coffee.
Me?
Still doing a good job?
Not me. You'll never get a good job from me.
But all right, I'm going to write that down.
Please do. And send it to my wife.
She knows.
Well,
she knows.
She knows. She knows only too well, right?
Tough rule. Tough rule. Yeah.
40 years of experience.
Is that how long you're married now?
What?
Is that how long you're married?
To Irma?
Yeah, to Irma?
Yeah, close to 40 years.
Where'd that go?
Where did it go? Let me
that
tell
away.
You. You haven't got enough time.
Count the ways, yeah.
Time flies.
It went a lot away. Councilmember
Germany. I have a reservation in heaven because of it.
Councilmember Dermody.
Oh, before you go.
Okay.
Before you do, excuse me.
Okay.
Hold on a minute. During the meeting here, we have to discuss the wipes. The wipes. because we are spending an enormous amount of money cleaning up machinery, fixing machinery.
So we can do it on Joe's report, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, we can do it. Yeah, Joe and I can do it together.
Okay.
He can do it. He can do it and take the responsibility.
Okay. Luke?
Okay. So just the bulletin board roof is going to go up this Sunday. I've bought all the wood already and cut it. I think it should cost like $100 total, so can't beat that. And that'll include some fresh stain for the whole existing structure. And I think I'll paint like the Roosevelt wooden letters, maybe white, so that pops a little bit.
So yeah. The existing structure is
that's going to stay.
Sturdy
that's pretty
and
much
solid,
brand new
yeah.
and solid. It's there's concrete in the hole, so that's sturdy. And then just a small pitched roof will go on top. We'll put a new like cork board in and paint and stain.
Home soap or?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's the one thing I haven't bought yet, but
okay, yeah.
I was thinking of going with that.
You know to get money from Anna, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll submit receipts.
I think once that's done, people will start using it. It was our main major means of communication in town, but it's fallen into disrepair and people aren't putting as many notices on.
I think it's been very pleasant without it.
Well, I agree, but I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, so we're going to do that this Sunday.
Nothing stays up there, it just falls down.
As long as it's not raining. So.
Actually, it's not supposed to. So.
Okay.
Are you going to do it yourself? Or you got
me and my dad are going to do it. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, Councilmember Hamilton.
We need to have a finance meeting.
Okay.
So I just wanted to find out from Lou and Joe whether or not they're available during the day sometime on Monday.
This coming Monday?
Yeah. We don't have a meeting scheduled.
It's Washington's. So. It's President's Day.
It's okay. We still might work.
I am just pointing that out.
I want twice my salary.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You got it?
I'll give you about twice your salary.
Okay.
We can approve
next
that.
Monday.
We're finance. We can approve it.
A week from today.
Yes.
Yeah. Is daytime better than the evening? I think daytime's better for most of us.
About late morning or early or sometime in the afternoon.
You want to shoot for like 11 o'clock or something like that? Or
maybe
is that better?
Maybe
a little
round?
Later?
A little later would be better.
1? 12? 1?
11?
How about 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock is good.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, bring your sandwiches.
Thank
you,
sir. Closed. I bet it's they can have it.
No, that's all right. We can do it somewhere else.
1 o'clock, you said?
No, you can come in.
That's
just like,
you know. Oh, in here it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're not going to need to.
1 o'clock, is it good?
1 o'clock, and we'll do it here.
Okay.
Okay. I'll supply coffee if you want coffee at 1. We need to start working on the budget, and there's some other issues that we should discuss. End of report.
And Councilmember Trammell, utilities. Here we go.
Okay. It's a mixture of utilities and public works, I guess. Nick Murray called me a week ago, Saturday, I think it was, and told me they were out walking Tamara at the creek.
Uh-huh.
There were two telephone poles there that were at about a 45-degree angle. And one of them had the 12,000-volt line on it.
And, over water.
Over water, yeah. So I called JCP&L, and that afternoon, like 5 hours later, they were out there putting two new poles in. So you'll notice that there's two new poles there, so that's all done.
It wasn't even windy that day, I don't think.
No, they were rotten. They rotted.
Rot
they were
away.
In the mud by the creek, and they just, you know, slowly took a walk.
Okay.
What Lou was talking about here, the pumps that are dying and the sewer plant and the lift station are costly to repair. And this is just this past month, like he said, the one on Lake Drive to pull it out, and it was a safety issue because somebody had to go into the hole and pull it. So that, not counting labor, was around
$3,865.
Yep. And then the influent pump, the first, after the Muffin Monster, the first pump that the wastewater sees is the number one influent pump. And that's a big pump. And that got jammed with rags and lost bearings, and there are metal parts floating around.
You say rags, you mean wipes or really rags?
This was rags and wipes. Mike said rags, I believe. So, and that one was 8,000?
That was, 7,800.
These are pumps?
These are pumps.
Being rebuilt, or they're brand new pumps?
I'm not positive they're rebuilds or new pumps.
Okay.
You know, but for that price, they could be new pumps.
All right. Okay. That's
awesome. So Janet on Lake Drive wrote a nice letter about not flushing.
Farm Lane.
Farm, yeah. And her last name escapes me right
it's
now.
It's like Janest.
G-I-N-E-S-T. Okay. Janet Janest wrote a nice, like, article with photographs showing, like, the damage that these wipes and rags
And we sent out the flyer.
Well, the flyer went out.
Very eye-catching color, yeah, hoping yeah. that...
But this is a great little article that she's going to put into the
book. Read it. And if someone reads it.
Yeah, and then Lou's got a nice idea that we should put something about the cost of the repairs. Somebody
well,
here.
It was on the flyer. It didn't give a specific amount.
You didn't put numbers down.
Real amounts and real pumps. That
no,
I think we should. I think my personal feeling is that along with this Mr. Ness article, which is a very good one with good graphics in it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we should put in on the article, folks... We've had breakdowns in 1 month. We have spent
11,000.
And tell them that it's 11. Yeah. This is not a
your money.
Number.
It's their money. Their money.
We spent $11,000 remediating.
I was wondering
this problem,
I had
and
asked
that we cannot continue to do this. Otherwise, we're going to have to raise the rates again.
Well, we said that also. But I was wondering if there was a way to gauge after that last flyer went out. If there was an improvement in...
Open up the manhole covers and see how many wipes are in there.
Yeah, can we do a count?
Fewer sewer, fewer clogs, I don't know. I don't know what else to do. Knocking on door to door and telling people you can't do it.
Well, I think let's try this with the $11,000
okay.
In 1 month.
Yeah,
that's a huge amount of money, for us especially.
Yeah.
Well, they look at the dollar value and then they say, we cannot sustain this kind of...
I think repetition works.
Yes.
The more you remind people and show them examples
right.
of the expenditures and warn them
right.
that
and
we have to raise rates.
Waste baskets are cheap.
We cannot sustain
it. Throw everything in the wastebasket.
Plastic bags.
Put it out the trash.
Yeah.
Anna had a good idea, too, that hand out little... There's these little bags that they sell at the dollar store for their pets.
Yeah, for walking your dog.
Things in, and that we just... distribute them.
Have some here.
Have them here. Tell them they can pick it up, and that dispose of the wipes in there. Tie it up and throw it in the trash.
But historically, in Roosevelt, we've given out because we used to give out for free. Remember, Michael, the rust.
Yep.
Negator, so you could put it in your laundry, and it would take all the rust out of your clothes because brown sludge came out.
Yeah, we had that
for years and years and years, and all your clothes had
the washing machine, so you didn't have to worry about it.
No, it
costs
really
less than a dollar per house to, or at least per package to have them here.
You can do that.
To have some available here for a haul, even.
Just stop by and pick them up.
Put that in an article also. You know, we have bags for waste.
What we do with ours is we have these three-ounce cups, paper cups.
Yeah.
And you put it in
the tiny Dixie.
Close it up, throw it in the garbage. And
we need to join a class action
a
suit against the manufacturers who insist on writing flushable.
You're saying this last one was rags.
What?
The rags are far more dangerous than those flushable wipes.
And filters and pumps don't like.
I didn't think
anything.
We had as much of a.
We're just saying that there was 11 grand for rags.
Yeah, tonight was the first night I heard rags. We've always been told it's the wipes.
That was on.
No, I've been here before when you said rags. Someone's flushing rags in this town. That's a nightmare.
And there's no way
you stop them from doing that, you're going to have a problem.
Kids sometimes do that.
If you read the invoice proper, he talks flushable or wipes, and he also talks rags.
I can't
even.
Rags
will actually go down your toilet? I would think it would stop it up.
A washcloth will, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And a washcloth in your collection well is a nightmare. You never get it out.
We've seen it on that muffin monster where it gets tangled around and it'll.
No, I'm just surprised that it actually
sometimes
goes
cut
down
through
the toilet.
Well,
especially the water
that.
Savers.
I mean, it got past the muffin monster. It made it into the first
I never touched anything.
Well, like if you, for example, it depends. I don't know what kind of rags they are.
like so washcloth will go down, and more easily. Have you ever had like the box of rags you ever bought at Home Depot when you have a paint job?
Yeah, the fiber.
Just the sleeves of T-shirts, that'll go straight down there. And then the string in it isn't made of cotton, and then it just gets wound around the thing until it stops.
It becomes a spider web.
The cotton generally shreds up and dissipates and dissolves to a certain extent. But
this is
all the thread and stuff that keeps all the clothes together is what destroys it.
Exactly.
And the edge of the washcloth, like you know that like edge that makes the edge?
Yeah.
That kills. You couldn't break that if you and I stood and I was hanging from
it. Monster and get caught, and the number one influence odor is going
to. Well, you're a couple steps away from what? Putting the screens on each the end of each pipe, each clean out, and figuring out where it's coming from.
That's what I was going to say. Is it possible to pinpoint exactly where?
I also suggest that we have a stamp, that we have an ink stamp, and we stamp all of our bills that says, "Remember, do not flush flushable wipes."
Yeah.
Just stamp the bill, send it out. You know?
I wonder if that could be. Well, the bills are pre-printed, and they just get typed with the printer. It would be a stamp, but that's 400, 300 stamps, you know. So that's okay.
But they should be able to print it. Print out.
You can print it out on the thing.
You can put whatever you want. You can put up to like 120 characters.
They're pre-printed.
Yeah, but they can. They can put
you can put a message, three lines,
there's
120
an
characters. That means it'll print up on the bill.
Try
being late paying your bill. You'll find out.
No, I didn't know.
That
should be
printed out. Okay, so that's that. The good news is that we are high on our phosphates. We're at the current level that the state allows, the DEP, 2.5 parts per million or something like that. They're taking it down to 1 part per million, which our plant at this point cannot handle.
Did you say that was good news?
The good news is that they extended it for 5 years.
Okay.
That we have to deal with it. But we should be thinking in that direction between us and Carmelo.
Right.
Also, that the trickling filters are working now, but and we still got to put like one day a $500,000 into repairing them, I mean, putting them back to new. But by the same token, there might be some technology that when we do that would work the phosphate and the phosphorus at the same time. So this is a Carmela issue. We should talk to her about that. Okay. The last issue that I was brought to my attention by John, the water guy, John Holden, is that at the end of Oscar going up Witch's Hollow, which is like, you know, a gully now, there are Verizon lines going out that way, and there are trees on top of the Verizon lines. And Verizon actually came out and looked and said, oh, my God. And there are two telephone poles that hold the Verizon lines lying down going up the gully, and there's fiber optic and there's copper. Copper in there.
I called them about a year ago and they weren't interested. I'm glad they are.
They're interested now and they want to go up put new telephone poles up Witch's Hollow there. But we spoke about this a year or so ago about not opening up Oscar to the park or to Millstone or to. But we would have to be able to. They would have to be able to drive up there, maybe a quarter mile, you know, to put.
Think trucks can do that.
Yeah, but then
it's not raining.
It's going to be cleared for like traffic, not traffic, but you know, would.
That's a cool trail.
I mean, they're going to have to. And they said they would do it themselves. We said our public works department couldn't handle doing that, and Verizon said we'll do it.
I think we should just oversee them, though.
Right.
Definitely.
And while
keep
they're
an eye
there,
on them.
If we're okay with them doing that, the wire's going across not your driveway, but the one next to the sewer, the water tower.
That crosses my driveway.
That crosses your driveway.
Right.
Those wires are almost touchable from Verizon. And they're almost touching the AT&T transmitter at the water tower. Yeah. So
do you get good reception?
So I think if we can catch them while they're over there doing that,
right.
I want to speak to them about these.
So can you tell them that we need to be informed when they're arriving to do this work, so we can.
Yeah.
I don't want to say watch them, but supervise and point out, point out some other issues.
They're doing some hanky panky out there.
When is T-Mobile going to come online on the tower?
I've never seen. We have AT&T and Verizon. Yeah. There were never any glitches. It happened. It materialized immediately.
I've seen a lot of correspondence, but that was about AT&T.
Right, but T-Mobile is just taking forever.
T-Mobile apparently has been paying us for since the middle of December.
Yeah, but I don't, you know. No,
as they pay us, I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Well, did we ever hear from that company that we gave a right-of-way to? That fourth company?
Oh, the telephone poles on 571, yeah. Right. Fiber optics.
Cross River?
Cross River, right.
They haven't submitted any applications to put anything up yet.
Good.
Okay. So that was a preliminary letter that they sent around saying we might want to do this and we'll be okay with the council. We didn't approve or disapprove that? Or
you passed an ordinance and you told them they could put it on existing right-of-ways on existing poles.
I thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them do that.
But they still have to come forward to the planning board, correct?
No. They just have to tell Carmella where they're putting the wires.
Oh.
Yeah. And they could do it.
There's no structures they're putting up. They're just hanging their wires on the poles next to everyone else's wires.
The existing wires.
Okay. You gave them your municipal poles. Consent to do that.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they have to tell Carmella.
Okay.
But they're otherwise authorized.
Less of the magnetic.
Oh, and if they want to do any structures or anything beyond that, then it's a whole different animal. But hanging wires on the current poles, they're allowed to do.
There's one thing I forgot to bring up. The issue about the trees falling, and responsibility of the public works crew, what are the guidelines that we should be using?
Well, I was actually going to discuss that with Greg later, find out. But, I mean, we could do it. You want to do it now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, just offhand, I see a lot of red ribbons.
Pink ribbons.
On trees.
That's JCP&L.
Okay.
I had an hour conversation with the supervisor yesterday. Those are trees that they're taking down because they're in danger of, at some point, falling onto the wires.
Okay.
So.
Apparently they think the branches.
But when it's on, like, Luke, did you see the big one on your property?
Yes.
Did they ask her?
That's
right. Mom and Dad?
The ribbon.
This is not a tree hugger, but
to come on, they need permission to take it
off. Looking at some of the trees, are the split trees, which are always in danger of falling, and they're big ones.
Well, I think yours is part of it's dead, right?
Yeah, and I think that's split half the years over the road is dead.
Right. So all those pink ribbons are trees that they've marked to come down, but they're on the homeowner's property, so you have to give them permission.
You have to give them. Now, we have paid tree companies big bucks to go and take dangerous trees like that down.
Right.
So if they're going to do it.
Well, no, these are pretty much on private property, not on borough property. We've paid for the trees on borough property that are dangerous to be taken down.
Right.
This is they're actually going on people's property if they feel that it's a danger or threat. And so they need the homeowner's permission, and that's when
they'll take down trees on public property.
Yeah, they will.
Dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But the ones that are marked are generally on this last round are on private property.
If there are a danger, and to the extent that not only to the wires, but if they fall while a car is coming or somebody's walking, and they get bopped.
Yeah.
We got a problem.
Yeah, we've always been really lucky.
We never had something like that happen.
Last Thanksgiving of 18, that huge tree came down Homestead, remember, right across.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, I can't even imagine what could have happened. But it came down in a major rainstorm.
You see it on the highway sometimes. If you go on the if you ever go on the Merritt Parkway, the trees are right next to. I was there one day driving through, coming back from Boston, and we were stopped about a half a mile when two trees fell and missed the car by this much.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy hadn't stopped, he would have been a dead duck.
They're so beautiful and they're so dangerous.
It's gorgeous.
I like that road.
You know that every overpass is not the same?
Yeah, I noticed that. They're all different.
They're different design. Mm-hmm. And every overpass.
So, I'll get to the point. What was my point? Oh, Right now, when people, residents call and say there's a big branch down or, you know, half a tree, whatever, so our public works goes out and they cut it up, they remove it, but most of them are on private property. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing it to be nice, but it's really costly. It's work for the public works people, it's, you know, and I don't think we can continue it. Just like we used to pay for all the sewer clogs until George Lang said, you're going to go broke. You can't pay for a resident sewer clog. They have to pay. You know, it's up to them. And so I think it's the same situation here. We've been doing mm-hmm. it to be nice. I'm not sure how long. I don't know if the previous administration did it or before that. We've been doing it. But now with this, you know, climate change and the severe storms we have and all, you know, aging trees, huge branches are coming down left and right. So I thought that we should actually not do it anymore. You know, for the like, if it's on the homeowner's property, they have to take responsibility and not.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly fine. I mean, it's a policy decision by you guys.
Right.
Title 4. You have an obligation to take down dangerous trees of which you have notice that are endangering people or property. That's the only obligation as a municipality.
On borough.
I mean, you don't even have the obligation to take it down. You're just taking the risk of a claim.
I think we ought to have a formal policy on that in some way, so we're not.
You got to treat it the same, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's where I thought we might run into a problem because you're liable to start having people with like two little twigs come down and go, "Well, you took his branch, you know, his chunk away. Why won't you take this?" And so,
I like the fact that we do that.
I do too,
as long as there's some guidelines for it, as long as we're not doing.
Well,
too much of it.
I've had a number of trees fall down
in my yard, and it never even occurred
me
to me
right,
to
I,
call here and have some people
over.
Me too.
I agree. But actually,
it would
Mike,
have been nice,
getting,
I guess.
But Mike, we've been getting calls left and right,
I know.
And that's what Public Works has been out to cleaning up a lot of people's trees or, you know, big
we'd
branches.
We'd like to find a middle way where we can. Like,
do you know what branches that fall from their property, trees onto their property? You guys go out and clean up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, a lot of times. We're nice like that.
When Mike and I first met, we were.
That is definitely not legal.
We run with chainsaws. You don't have to do that.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And I like that we do that. I mean, it's Roosevelt. We try to be, but it's happening constantly now.
What happens if it's a big storm? I'd have to do my fall and spring cleanup
if I knew I could do that.
Well, that happens.
I take all the stuff, I throw it in the yard, like, it all fell down. Guys, got to come
here. I didn't hear what you asked.
What happens if there's a big storm and 20 trees go down?
Well, we were out during Sandy. We were out in the streets and cutting up trees.
Yeah, so do we
want. Okay, but that was an extreme situation. But we're
blocking the streets
every day now from different residents.
If they're blocking the streets, it's one thing. You know, we're going
to
remove it.
It's very easy.
Hurricane Sandy was a declared state of emergency.
Right.
So all the rules were out the window.
Yeah, that's an extreme situation.
The mayor's going in charge of the town. The police chief's in charge. You know, that's what happened.
I did hear that.
I say if it's blocking the street, we are. It's incumbent upon us to move it. But we move it up to the...
Maybe that should be the guideline.
To their property.
To their property.
Onto their property.
Their
or next to their property.
Or the right of way. Yeah.
And it's their responsibility to dispose of it.
Yeah.
Well, there was a tree branch on School Lane on the north side that went the same day that these telephone poles were going. And Greg went out and took it off the street, moved it onto the homeowner's property, and it's probably still there.
Well, that's the situation, right? The homeowner says, we'll finish the job. Get it out of here.
No, we're not doing it.
I don't blame them. I mean, if that's what we've been doing all along.
Right, but it's getting, with the weather changes and the climate changes, we're getting calls every day.
The towns handle it different ways. So, like, if you have a big storm and there's a bunch of branches down, I mean, you know, many towns in the Bayshore put out a code red. DPW truck will be by it between 9 and 4 on Saturday. They pay an extra guy over to drive the truck around. You have to have your stuff at the curb. Yeah. And then we throw it all in the dump truck and put it away. You don't want to throw it in the creek, clogging up the creek, stuff like that.
But,
I mean, going on people's property with the public employees, I would advise not to do that. Just because workers' comp is an issue.
That's what I thought so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we can move it to the borderline to get it out.
So towns do it different ways, right? It's a state of emergency. Do whatever you want. Just you literally can keep people in their houses after dark. You do whatever you want to make sure that everything's okay.
big storm event, I mean, it's a really, I mean, in most towns, it's a nice thing to do. You don't have to do it, but it's a nice thing to do. Send a truck around so people can put their stuff at the curb, and then our DPW guys just pick it up from the curb and put it right in the truck, right out of the right-of-way. They never leave the right-of-way. If you have a hazardous tree, it's on public property that's threatening private property or people, and someone calls here, then we have to take care of it because that's the Tort Claims Act. If a tree we otherwise didn't know about falls on someone's yard, it's really their responsibility to clean it up. I mean, even if it's from borough property, if it's on their property, the other thing is if it falls on their shed or a car or whatever, they have insurance for that. So the damage is really covered.
Yeah, personal
first property insurance, right. Particularly on any cars or anything, it's collision damage. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you have, you know, trees that you want to do maintenance, you want to have a shade tree commission arborist, that's a whole different animal in terms of proactive maintenance. But in terms of, kind of, those are basically your steps. No one's going every thunderstorm and cutting people's branches up on people's property. I'll tell you that. I don't even recommend doing that because that's just a slippery slope. Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
Speaking of the tree ordinance, how are the two ladies doing with that?
Well,
we should get something in it.
Yes, actually, but Michelle Donato is working on it right now because the two people in town who I sort of asked to take the lead on this, which is who are Gail Hunton, because she's a...
Gail's an arborist.
Well, no, she's not an arborist, but she's Monmouth County's historic buildings and land person. And Kate John Alder, who is a landscape architect, they have met, and they feel that they want Michelle Donato to draft the ordinance. They think that it should come from her.
Right.
And they're working on it right now.
Why should it be coming from her?
She's a lawyer.
She's a land use attorney, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. Listen, she's a very, very capable woman. She could,
based on her considerable experience, I recommend that she be assigned to draft the ordinance. We are willing to review and advise, but we need an attorney to craft the actual ordinance.
Okay.
And so they're working on it, plus they have Brumsons, and they're recommending a rather simple ordinance under police power rather than development applications through the planning board. So they're proceeding with this. Yeah.
Well, I think
should it be going to you if it's in our general code or?
Mm-hmm. Well, after Michelle finishes.
Yeah. Or is it in the zoning?
But ultimately, I'll be looking at it before it goes on the agenda. But
yeah.
If they're already working on it, I don't want to stop that up. Let them.
But where would it be under? She's saying police regulations, which is under our general code?
Yeah, probably the general code. Probably not the
so not anything to do with the zoning code?
Not really.
But from the text message from the non-lawyer,
it sounds
like it's going in the police.
General,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it should be done very soon because
we're
getting more and more of this stuff coming to us.
I know. No, we're in constant. Believe me, Lou. I
don't think the borough should have to deal with it every other day.
But they're working on it.
They're working on it, yeah. Yeah, they are. And they know we would like to be much sooner rather than later.
Okay. Just one last point of clarification on the Verizon telephone pole stuff. It's okay for them to go for that?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Let them fix that.
So they go up Witches Hollow?
They have an easement, presumably.
Yeah, they do it.
Yeah.
They have an easement.
Yeah, we voted. We discussed it a few years ago.
Yeah. That's interesting that all the telephone poles I hear have like little metal strips with the number of the pole and everything. The pole right on the corner there, which holds the high tension lines as well as the Verizon line, and then the Verizon goes out to the woods, is number 17. And it doesn't have BT for Beltel or V for Verizon. So this is one of the original poles in Roosevelt days.
Where, Joe? On Witches Hollow?
If you go all the way up Oscar, if you don't make a right onto North Valley,
right, just continue.
You go up, there's a pole on the left, right at the beginning of the woods there. Mm-hmm. And that's got the high voltage lines that go across to the water plant, to the water tower. But the Verizon lines go.
No, I was just curious where that really old pole is.
It's number 17. It's right there. I took a picture of it because I wanted to talk to Verizon about it, but Anna spoke with them. And they've been there, they've scouted it today already, so they're ready to work on it again. But 17, I've never heard of it. Just the number on the telephone.
Yeah.
They're usually designated JCP&L or BT, Beltel.
When I moved to my house, my phone number, the phone number was painted on the wall in the garage. It was like HX, I think, for like Fort Worry 2. What?
Hickory.
Fort Worry, Hickory.
Yeah. But it was like a 4 or 5 digit phone number from 1936.
It was probably a party line too.
You know? Oh, absolutely, it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from the committees?
It's about time.
All right, Michael, do you have anything you need to report?
Okay.
As I was saying, you mentioned the point, which is quite the case, that my own experience with trees falling, that you know, you look to your own insurance company first, and you know the borough certainly shouldn't be paying what
on your property.
Your homeowner's insurance. Yeah. The borough should not be paying what people's homeowner insurance will pay. So that's certainly something.
They won't pay for removal if there's no damage.
No, if a structure is damaged, that's right.
They will not pay.
No, right. That's right. There's no damage. Yes, that's correct. Okay. The North Valley Road. Oh, yeah. You mentioned about the trees being marked with the. On North Valley Road, there's a whole bunch of them that are on public property. So they're not only on private property. Okay. So there's a whole string of
them. Are they marked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know they're doing public property. I just said they're also doing private property.
And then the easement. There's one in that easement that going up to the water tower.
Yeah.
Or just up my driveway. Yeah. So that, but that's
yeah, there's some on easement.
Yeah.
Down that's on public property.
Oscar Drive, as you said, they have. They ran utility lines there. They've had these. I tried to talk to them years ago and said, there's somebody interested in you know, these down wires. They didn't care. But at least now they care about down wires. It's good. Maybe because if there are wires, they should either remove them or they should fix them.
Well, remember the wires at the gas station? Yeah. They were there for years and years.
Yeah,
there's a couple of phone numbers for
you.
Yeah. I just found to get some more information. One of the things you mentioned about the tree ordinance was that tree on the former Klein property. The reason that the people did it, do you know why they did it?
No, I don't agree, Michael. They would not have put up the solar panels first without taking the tree down. I found out about it.
Okay.
They would have made sure the tree came down first before they put up the panels. That tree was not blocking the panels.
It would be
on the south side of the house, where the tree was in the roof.
The tree was south, right, it was on the south side, that's what I'm saying. So they may have believed that it was necessary.
No,
whatever, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying that was, a neighbor told me what was going on, so she said that's what the people had said. Okay,
they would have done the work first. They would have made them take the tree down first. I did some research.
Okay, well, the tree, presumably if you're putting up solar panels, you would take the tree down first before you put up the solar panels.
It wasn't that close to the house.
Okay, I don't know. And on the bamboo, I just wanted to point out that I see you're going to have a discussion of potential ordinance. The other part of the recommendation was, which you don't need an ordinance for, is that to go onto the borough land and just cut back the bamboo that's on the borough land. So hopefully something will be done about that.
Yeah, that's what my
ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, old business bamboo ordinance.
What
about it? The Environmental Commission, I think is what Michael was referring to, brought, I think you sent the email, right?
Yeah.
So Michael sent an email, and so I've had problems with bamboo before in other towns, specifically Belmar, as you can see from the front of the ordinance. This is how it was dealt with in Belmar. I wasn't completely familiar with the exact circumstances of where the bamboo is here, but this is basically the extent to which you can regulate bamboo. You require its removal, containment, buffer zones. So any combination of whatever's in this ordinance that you think would address the issue here, I can help you with that. If there's something that's beyond this ordinance, we can research it and figure out what that should go after.
Can you give me a copy of that? So
yeah, here, you can have this.
Yeah,
there we go.
I thought we had
just... Germany also looked at these situations. So we want to talk about it.
Yeah, what's the problem here? We're all on the same page.
Yeah, there's two doors down from me on Homestead where Mr. Bondi used to live. That bamboo has started to spread into the backwoods, so now it is on Roosevelt's land. I think Tom, the neighbor to Mr. Bondi, is the one who complained.
Yeah, he initiated the complaint.
So, and it's already spreading over to my house. You can see the stalks coming up. So I guess that's something we can just have Public Works go out and chop down, you know, 10 feet at least to the property line.
I don't know. I still
they
think
propagate
they should
by the root system.
Yeah, it goes low, and like, it'll pop up 20 yards away from where you see stalks.
So it's not going to matter.
Right.
Well, see, the only way to stop it from spreading is to basically firebomb the stuff that's outside, a steel ring that you put in the ground to like two and a half, 3 feet.
Right, so I guess it's
so that's
the
that's what I learned in Belmar.
It sounds drastic.
Yeah,
yeah, it does.
Pretty much. I mean, it will just grow and grow.
Would a flamethrower also work?
Yeah.
But
it would grow back.
Pandas.
So you basically have to put steel in the ground. You can grow, it'll grow through. You can't put plastic. You can't put fiberglass. It has to be basically metal, steel, because it will grow through almost anything else.
That's impressive.
It's like 18. I mean, Belmar, we had a 24. And it won't grow under that. It dies when it gets too cold.
I still have the best idea. Yeah.
But that's basically the only way to stop it from spreading is to dig it out, like dig the whole area out down to 3 feet, or 2.5 feet.
It's very aggressive.
So after a nuclear holocaust, it'll be bamboo and roaches?
I think
probably, yeah.
Roaches and bamboo.
There'll just be pandas left. Yeah.
Two pandas in a sense.
I said pandas. We have to eat. No one jumped on us.
Two pandas, put them in a cave, in a enclave, you know, whatever, and charge people to watch them.
Would Gail know anything?
That's a winner for everybody,
Gail,
right?
Except for the pandas, yeah.
Well, it's pretty universal. Joe, so right. Every town is starting to have bamboo control ordinances because it's such a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so this ordinance is drafted for a town that has 50 by 75 lots. And so if you have bamboo on your property in Belmar, everybody around you knows it. So you can see how stringent this is and what have you. I'm not saying that this is what I'm suggesting here. This is just a large swath of the regulations area that you guys can tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like next meeting, and then we can go about drafting. I encourage you to take that to the EC and give their suggestions, and then we'll all do what we always do. Come back here and up to the least common denominator for passage.
Yeah. I thought we had thought about banning it from all public property, but if it's on private property, it just has to be oversight. You can't let it. The property owner is responsible for not having it. For maintaining
it. Yeah, I mean, you'll see in this ordinance if you already had it. So there's a lot of due process. Like, we put notices up, and if you showed, you put, honestly, and we weren't like sticklers for the 24 inches. If it was like 18 down, and you showed we had the metal around that backyard, and you had cut it back, and you had dug down the requisite depth, but then put the sheet in, we were okay with that. You had to do something, though, because you let it run wild, it becomes harder and harder to stop. We have a big problem with Heritage Park in Allentown. Someone planted it in the old mill.
Back in the mill.
Oh, it's a forest of bamboo. One of the biggest I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous.
It's cool, but it's killing a lot of the trees that are in Heritage Park. It's getting into the wetlands and destroying the
wetlands. Are companies around that harvest this stuff and use it?
Not really, not unless you want to get like a. Honestly, I mean, it grows so fast
but
and so cheap. There's no commercial value to it.
Everything's made of bamboo today.
It's a sustainable resource.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm serious about it.
I mean, Asia, they use it for scaffolding. They don't use like you see in New York City. They'll literally use bamboo scaffolding.
Let them come and harvest it. What the hell?
They make furniture out of it. They do all kinds.
Yeah, bamboo is really a popular material today. It's like honeysuckle. I think honeysuckle is one of the most beautiful. Nothing smells better than honeysuckle. Meanwhile, it just crushes
like
every tree and every.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why would it take effect 20 days after? Wouldn't it be effective as soon as we put it in the adopted and put it in for advertisement? 20 days.
I don't remember if there was a particular purpose for that or not.
Yeah, just.
That's the estoppel period.
For a bond.
Yeah, but I can't remember if they wanted to do that to give people 3 weeks to do public notices and stuff. Because people in Belmar were not happy about this if you had your little tiki garden in the backyard. I can't remember the genesis of that, but I'm sure it had something to do with the PR situation at the time.
So we'll come back next time with our recommendations? Or
from the Environmental Committee also?
Mike said take it back there and just bring back what your thoughts are. Okay. Cross it out. Maybe you just cross it out or make notes on it and give it back to me. I'm okay with that.
Could you send this to me electronically so I can send it to
more
people?
I can do that. But you mean, I only have it in PDF, though. Is that okay?
I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, I can forward it to you.
So actually,
just do me a favor. Just shoot me an email. I'll send it to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
It won't be our next meeting because Environmental Commission won't. Oh, wait, maybe they will have. You have met by our next meeting by the 20th?
I'm sorry.
Well, no. I thought the next one would be okay. I mean,
yeah,
it's not rush to the next
the
meeting.
One after.
I'll be here every meeting, okay? Yeah. Me or Andrew.
Good.
Just email. Just shoot me an email so it's at the top of my box, and I'll just. It's right in the top of my box, so I'll email it back to you. I'm lying if I told you I'd remember after I said that. I'm lying.
We'll see. Either the next meeting or the one after.
Let me ask you something. I'm going back to the wipes for a moment. Just to clarify. Mm-hmm. What did we decide to do? Are we going to put the article from the woman's article?
Oh, yeah, well, it's not up to us. She submits it.
So we have to tell her to submit it.
No, she's already submitted.
She's submitting it to the board.
How about a notice by the from the council?
Well, we did just send out a flyer, so
I think that putting a note from the borough along with this, because this is really very graphic and very clear. Along with this, saying that this stuff costs us $11,000 a month to do, to clear,
I had a hard time with Anna because it would really pain her to put out that flyer without the word please on it. I told her, no please. Just this big, not.
And who's doing the Edmonds bills now?
Sam is on the case now, I believe.
Okay, can they add that a little section with some wording?
You got
about
that, Anna? Can Sam add "do not flush" onto the bills? Talk to you tomorrow about that. Also,
that would be effective too.
Yeah.
Well, we have to blitz these people.
Just remind them all the time terrible. When they write out the check that it might be more next time you write out the check if you continue to do that and it's on the bill.
Yeah. And if we could print it as red, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Also, Janet wrote that article, Janet Kent wrote that article because she said, I don't like this red flyer yelling at me because it was a red flyer. So she decided.
But that's what we needed.
Good.
You know, we wanted to grab people's attention.
She noticed it.
Deep red and no please.
Yeah, she noticed it. Yeah.
Good. That's what we wanted to grab your attention. And Anna's like, I feel terrible not putting please on it. I said, Anna, don't put please on it.
All right. So okay. We go there.
All right, new business. I wanted to bring something up. So I've had a couple of meetings with Mr. Gade, and it seems as though the deli is possibly going to reopen soon. Now, our liquor license many years ago cost $50,000 because, you know, we own the liquor license. In May of 17, the council voted to have opening bid at $150,000. I actually thought that was exorbitantly high.
To say the least.
Couldn't see anyone putting in an opening bid of $150,000, but the deli was abandoned at that point, and, you know, it didn't, whatever, we just let it go through. Now that it's possible that we will start receiving some bids for it because I think the deli's opening, I can't say for sure, there's movement there. Last I spoke to Mr. Gade, he said he had interviewed 3 prospective tenants, people who want to open a deli. So I thought we should revisit.
There's a bit for rent signed there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know. There's 3 people he told me that were. And I don't think that includes somebody else I know who's interested, so I think there's at least 4. But anyway, I thought we should revisit the liquor license ordinance because I can't imagine that $150,000 would be acceptable to anyone.
Well, what do they go for?
Well, in Freehold, they're about $1 million.
Yeah,
depends on
the location. I thought we should make
a good location.
It's a pretty good location. We really get a lot more traffic in the summer because now GPS sends Great Adventure visitors through Roosevelt, which they in the old days that's everybody came through here. Then they kind of just bypassed us and went on 195, but now they're back to GPS. It tells them to get off at exit 8, come through Roosevelt.
When the Millstone development goes through, that could send more traffic this way, too.
So, anyway, I thought it's been a long time since it was 50,000. I thought my suggestion was to make opening bid $75,000.
$150,000 sounds.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what the thinking was.
You have to have one hell of a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
That would be hard to get a return.
And like champagne from Paris.
You know, you have to also understand $150,000. They don't have enough room to display that much liquor. They may have a lot of.
They may have
a cooler for beer or whatever.
What did the Rossies pay when the
Rossies?
Pardon me? 50. And that was 50? In 1980.
Is this per year or just once?
No, it's a one time.
One time.
Yeah, 1980 was 40 years ago.
Is it a one timer?
So it's a one time, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'd like to get advice from our counselor here, too.
On the price?
Yeah, where to. But the I don't know what the market rate is for that kind of thing.
Someone's going to pay for it, you know? Yeah, someone here, I mean, it's really a very.
Do you want to save that for the executive meeting? Or?
Well,
no, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the right price is. Okay. I appreciate the.
It's whatever
the market will determine what the price is, I know that. Just real estate.
It was 40 years ago, it was $50,000, which is why I thought we should make it. 75, which is half of what it's.
I think it makes sense if we want to, if we want that place to be profitable.
We have
to
let's make it attractive, not chase somebody away.
So I mean, in short, you know, no one was going to pay 150, right? Because no one did, and you know that someone at some point paid 50.
Right.
So the market is somewhere between 50 and 150. Yeah.
That's what
where it is. I couldn't tell you.
We have to. It's Roosevelt, so there's no traffic at night at all. So it's.
Should we work that out now?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought if we discussed it now, then we could put the ordinance on it.
That's a question. When people buy a liquor license, when a business buys it, do they pay it in one lump sum? Or do they pay it over time? And that license, do they pay the town or do they pay the state? I don't understand how that works.
It's a town because the town owns it.
Well, they have to pay once. This is a one time.
Okay.
Okay, and then every year. It has to be renewed, and there's a annual fee that they have to pay.
Okay.
And then another private party can pay them to transfer it with your and the ABC's approval.
And it's only good for this location, or can they use the liquor license at other locations?
Within the borough.
Within the borough, right, I knew that.
Wherever it's zoned for the liquor license. Right. Or
subject to zoning restrictions and other ABC guidelines.
Right. Okay.
So do we want to come up with a number so we can put the ordinance on?
Have you ever read the application?
No.
A really good way to figure out what the scope of regulation is, if you just Google ABC transfer application,
okay.
It's 12 pages of questions. If you read it all, you'll understand what they're doing. You have to have a sketch of what's laying out, and then I'll give you a really good idea of what the ABC does.
Okay, good. I'll do that.
And it also asks questions in there that if you were going to transfer it to someone else, so you can see what they're worried about. Undisclosed interest, who owns it,
yeah.
Is this person qualified, do they have criminal records, stuff like that.
So how did we end up with it?
You took it back from an inactive
license. It was rescinded from
so
the
previous. So if somebody buys it, then if they decide to move and leave, they can give it back?
Well, in our case, someone bought it, and then it just wasn't in use.
It went dormant.
It's your as of right liquor license, so you're allowed.
Every municipality can have one.
At least one.
No, it depends on your size, yeah.
Because of our population,
yeah.
If you're a town like Red Bank that had a bunch of bars that were opened in 1910 before Prohibition and reopened immediately after, before the liquor license regulations are in place, your prior liquor licenses are grandfathered in. So if you go down the shore, it makes no sense why Belmar has, you know, 7 liquor licenses for 5,000 people when the standard is 1 for 5,000 people. It's because they were all there before they had the liquor regulations. And so when an inactive as of right license or one that you'd otherwise be entitled to, can be revoked by the municipality for inactive use or non-use. So this one was inactive for the statutory regulatory period of time, and the borough, I read the paperwork, rescinded it from the owner. It's not a liquor license cannot be owned. It's a very esoteric concept from what we start talking about here. But a liquor license cannot be owned. It is a license from the state as a privilege. And so it has no title. You can't pledge it as a loan. You can't pledge it as anything. If you were going to pledge it, the value of it to get a loan, a business loan, what you do is you pledge the stock of the company that owns the liquor license because the company is the owner and has the right. If that makes sense. It's not like a deed to a house. It's just permission from the state to sell liquor for a commercial purpose under certain restrictions as detailed by the ABC in your individual application. And so when, as a right license is rescinded, the municipality can reissue it via auction. and sell it to a new person can reopen.
Who gets the money?
If you're having, we do.
We do.
If the inactive license is like one of those grandfathered ones, it disappears, gone forever.
Tell me something. Is it a yearly license or?
Every license is renewed annually, every July 1st.
And they pay $75?
No, just a fee.
Oh. They pay a max. They pay a maximum. They pay a fee by ordinance, which you can set up to. I believe the maximum level at this moment is what?
$2,500.
It's like
$2,500,
$2,600. So they renew with a fee.
They pay a fee here, and they also pay a fee to the state.
Which is $200.
But not $75. It's just the $2,500 or whatever we set it at every year. Once they pay the $75.
They're done with us.
The reason you want it back out there is because it's revenue every year every time the patient pays the renewal fee. Even when it was inactive, they were paying the renewal fee.
Depending on what you
said.
To hold the license, you must pay that fee.
Right. Even if you're not using it.
Correct.
To hold the license, you have to pay
the
fee.
To us and to the state.
Yeah, but it's a pocket license can only be renewed twice.
Except, well, I mean, they gave obviously special dispensation from the director here how many times.
And then you need special, right, and then it's...
And I believe this municipality can have two licenses, a pocket license and a sales.
So this town is so small that you're going to have to not quote me on the rules. But in ordinary circumstances, a town usually has a plenary license and a consumption license. Plenary meaning liquor stores, consumption meaning bar. This town is so small that I'm not sure what the rules are when they get this small.
Well,
Well,
what I was always told was that we could have a consumption license,
okay.
But we never wanted one here because we don't have a police department.
Okay.
You know, for all those.
Okay, and that rule holds too.
We're really isolated.
But once I remember a while back, not that many years ago, when the Rossies, I think, had it.
That was years ago.
They had chairs and tables outside.
Right.
On Rossdale.
But you couldn't drink at those tables.
Yes, they were.
Well, maybe they were drinking, but
they were drinking. They were drinking. No, they weren't brown bagging it. They were drinking beer with the label.
Because it's Roosevelt. But
well, there's no cops
officially,
here. Trying to do that. Belmar,
right,
see what happens.
Right. Officially.
Well, you get in trouble with the ABC for that. If the ABC inspector comes down, they'll get fine. They could lose the license.
Yeah. But I was always, because I've been at the table now for 15 years. Now, I was always told that we could have a consumption license. But we're so isolated. There's no police. The state police at this point are pretty sparse.
I don't think we need it.
So we chose not to go down that route. But
we don't. We can't take that burden. We can't take on that burden.
Well, I think right across from the school, it just doesn't make sense.
Whoever takes over the deli, I think it's a very important part of their business. It's a good draw.
Yeah.
The hunters like to go out into the woods. It sits on a pleasant spot.
Yeah, I mean, I've been
with their shotguns and six packs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but they know.
That's what I go in the house and put the
shotguns. It draws them in for sandwiches. It gets people locally who say, you know, we want a six pack of beer to watch a movie or something like that, and they go, oh, we can go to Roosevelt and do it. And it drives people into the business, and I think it's a good
draw.
It's a good cash kind of.
As someone told me who owns a restaurant in Cranberry, this is a quote from him, because I was asking him if he was interested in coming in and buying our liquor license a couple of years ago, or even opening a cafe, something. But anyway, he was renovating his restaurant. He enlarged it, so he couldn't come to Roosevelt and do anything here. He was in over his head. But he said to me, a liquor license means one thing. I thought he was going to say, like, problems. And he said, a liquor license just means one thing, cash cow. Mm-hmm. So... And people have been contacting me about the liquor license.
Right.
So that's why I thought it was time to revisit this and change.
So can I move that we should consider
$75,000 for a beginning bid?
Opening bid, yeah.
Opening bid for a liquor license that we hold for the general store or for the...
whatever that is.
I had a liquor license when I was 12 years old. Yeah. It was a special license. I could put liquor on shelves. I could not sell it.
Did you make a motion?
Yes, you did. Yeah, I was going to say, do I have a second?
We just need your guidance. We don't need an official resolution because there's going to be an official resolution that says.
Yeah, and it's in
Yeah, I think you did it already once here.
That was
yeah.
one, so it's just
so it's going to look like this.
It's going to be a resolution.
So I don't. This is going to be the actual resolution. Right. So we just, I think what the mayor was asking for was just your guidance that, like, yeah, whether I'm supposed to go ahead and do this or not.
I think it makes
to prepare
sense.
It.
Yeah. I think we should.
It's revenue.
$75,000.
No guarantee anybody buys it anyway.
Do I hear anyone?
Can I take this with me,
Kathy? It is the opening.
If you want to take
that's the opening
bid, folks. I have to advertise at certain times.
There's a whole statutory process.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I wrote, when you flip open that folder, you'll see when last time I bid on the left.
Oh, okay,
put
cool.
it in, I did second.
7 days apart. Okay.
And then, yes.
If you want to pay more, Lou, that's just the opening bid.
Do I want to pay more? I have my own liquor license at home.
Yes.
Okay.
That'll work. We'll be able to put it together.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully, if all goes well, we will actually have a deli and or some kind of food mart and
coffee.
Maybe hopefully a liquor.
I know. I'm very much looking forward to doing the ABC.
Starbucks.
No.
Starbucks for the liquor license.
Yeah. Starbucks was selling liquor at a lot of its locations, and then I heard they axed the whole thing, nixed it.
Yeah.
It didn't work
was,
out.
You know why?
I don't.
It was doing ruining their image.
Okay, I will open the public comment at 8:11 on a public comment on any item. I will close the public comment at 8:11. There being no comments.
Michael, did you get my email?
Which Michael?
No. About not being able to go to the meeting. Well, I have to tell you, I'm the alternate. Is that the word?
That's a corner.
Their meetings are usually very early in the morning. And I have reasons for
that.
I cannot make an 8:00, 9:00 meeting.
I can relate.
So I wrote an email telling them. So and I would like to withdraw as the alternate.
Well,
oh, okay.
No, I think they. I think Roberts Engineering does a lot of the work, and the applicant has to pay. And I think they pay.
No,
would anyone, Mike, Lou,
sorry.
Would anyone like to volunteer to be Michael's alternate for the block grant?
CBDG.
When is it?
2 meetings a year, basically. The next meeting is the meeting.
There's one coming up.
On a week from Wednesday, and then in September will be the meeting to go over all the applications.
Mm-hmm. Anybody do it?
Well, Michael goes, right?
Yeah.
No, anyway,
so
yeah.
He goes, so you don't
right.
need
somebody
to go.
Somebody wants to come as well, then.
All right.
Okay.
I could do it.
You want to do it? Okay.
I'll do it. Let me know.
Okay.
Well, the council should designate me. The mayor should designate me.
Yeah, so the next meeting I'll have a resolution to...
All right, Councilor, do we need a closed session?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Kathleen, you're on. Thanks for coming as always, Michael. Thanks for coming as always.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd just talk to ourselves.
Yeah. It's been real. Thanks for the Witches Hollow advice there.
All right, so we need a motion to have a private executive meeting that excludes the public.
Move a private meeting.
Second.
Okay, whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. Whereas said act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said act. Now therefore be resolved that the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters Ellentown versus Roosevelt Oprah litigation update and Roosevelt versus Hilltop Swim Club litigation update. that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated that discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required on this meeting. So I need a roll call vote. I can speak English. Vote.
A vote is good.
Committeeman Bowen.
Yes.
Committeeman. Mayor. Mr. Dermody.
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff.
What are you calling me?
A voter.
I want to be called something other than just Mr. Esikoff.
The Honorable.
The Honorable.
The Honorable.
Tiny.
Tiniest.
So was that a yes?
That's a yes, of course.
Okay. Mr. Hamilton?
This is to increase her salary?
From zero to zero.
Yes.
All right. Joe Tremont?
Yes.
All right. So we are in executive closed session at 8:16.
We should all turn on our
and we all have to...
Kathleen said something I think was extremely perceptive. Do you want to tell them what her idea?
This is classic. This is great.
Oh.
What a girl.
No, I wanted to know about solar.
I got a psychiatrist to take care of your business.
No, Solar Village, my question is, with all these whites, Solar Village, do they get one bill and Solar Village pays so these individual residents don't throw whites in? Like they don't pay a water bill there, right, Lou?
They do pay water.
No, individually? Each
they get charged individually, but I don't know if they actually see the bills because
the corporation,
Solar Village Corporation may handle that.
Right.
So they might not be seeing.
I'm not sure.
Right. They are the biggest water sewer utility.
They are.
But they may not be aware. I mean, I don't want to say anything that's politically incorrect, but they are older and some of them are disabled and infirm, and they may not be aware. They may use a
I would
lot
suggest
of wipes.
We buy 22 of those packages of baggies and we
distribute
them
in the
Solar
Village.
I will
pursue it for you.
Tecton is in charge of the
$22.
And we'll lose on the board too.
Then he should get these flyers.
Because she's right. They may use a lot more wipes than
everybody. We can go door to door and give the article to everybody.
Yeah. And they may use more wipes than anybody else.
Well, it's interesting because that is not where the problem area is.
Okay, that's...
Exactly. It's over on Lake at the lift station.
I thought it was a great idea.
Right? And it's at the sewer plant itself. You know, the stuff coming in there.
Still,
but they're coming
but that stuff
from the whole
right.
town.
Where coming,
from? Coming and meeting there.
Yeah. I think it's a good point that we should educate the Solar Village residents.
I will bring it up at the meeting, next meeting, and we will send out a flyer to them particular. Because we can do that. We can hand it out... The management of the
company. I nominate Mr. Trudeau.
Go door to door.
I second that.
We'll get you a golf cart.
Me?
Drive around and pay us a little bit.
You'll have empty wipes with the strings on the back.
No, you go along with one of those giant contractor trash bags and you say, here, throw them right in here.
Like old lamps.
Your bags, sir.
You give me your bags, I'll give you new wipes. Is that
oh, God.
Old lamps for new.
Bag exchange.
Bag exchange.
Move to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
All
without objection.
Aye.
All right, timeout, 9:14.